Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley
and Beth Jacobson.
And we are super excited to have you join us this evening. We have created this show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality. We will have discussions on various topics and will feature many guests, including healers, psychics, mediums, and speakers. Our show will be on Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. You can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button, and also check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. Our email address is divinegoddessradio@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear any feedback or insight that you have on our shows. If you'd like to reach Beth, you can call her at 651-900-4136 or Marie at 651-303-0555. You can also download our shows as a podcast using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons on our Blog Talk Radio page. And if you could also like our Facebook page, just search for Divine Goddess Radio and like us. We would really, really appreciate it. Our chat room will also be open for any questions, so please feel free to type in and ask a question or just say hello. And tonight I'm going to be talking with Beth Jacobson, my co-host. Beth just completed one book in her series, and it's entitled The Closet, and Beth has had a lot of experience with seeing things as a child and living through them, so that's the topic that we're going to be talking to her about. Hey, Beth.
Well, hello, Marie. Happy St. Patty's Day, everybody.
Yep, same to you. You know, if listeners didn't hear our very first show where we kind of gave our background to everybody, you want to just tell listeners a little bit about your background and what you've done and what you do now?
Yes, I'm more than happy to do that. I have a background with a history of, I was a mental health counselor for many years, for over 12 years, and I specialized in working with at-risk youth and their families. And today, I still, with the spiritual work that I do, I specialize in working with kids of all different ages. The kids that I worked with were absolutely all phenomenal, but we'll get into that later. So with that, I have the history of that. So I call myself, if I have to sit here and put a label on myself, I'm an intuitive clairvoyant, and I do spiritual counseling. And so I work with children and adults. It can be individually, it can be family, it can be in group settings. I work with foster homes, foster care homes. I go into the school system, so I go and do my work anywhere and everywhere. So that's just a little bit about me right now. And I've been, ever since I was a child, able to see things that other individuals have at least not admitted to or have forgotten about, that are not considered of the physical world, such as angels, among many other things. So that's just a little of my background, because otherwise we could be here all day. You have to be a little more specific with me on what you specifically want to know.
Well, I think, you know, since today's show's topic is what do children see, what are the typical things that children see that you found, and what did you see growing up as a child? I know you mentioned angels. But what specific things did you see? Because this might be helpful, you know, if a parent has a child and the child is saying, Mommy, you know, I saw such and such in my room last night, and the parent says, oh, you were just dreaming. These kind of things might be more than just a dream. So do you want to elaborate on that for us?
Oh, exactly. You know, and the families that I work with, the parents will sit here and say, oh, it's just their imagination. And I grew up hearing from the adults in my life and from other people saying, oh, my goodness, Beth, you have the most active imagination. Where do you come up with this stuff? And I think a lot of the kids that I work with, seriously, are very typical of this, have the same experiences that I did as a child. And that's where I just went, oh, my Lord, I need to write a book, because everything the kids have been talking to me about, it's exactly my similar experiences. A lot of the things that I saw and a lot of the things that I, since I've worked with kids, angels. A lot of kids will say ghosts. I call them spirits. It's just terminology. I have seen different shapes. which now, as an adult, I know what it is. But it's called sacred geometry. I've been seeing that ever since I was a child. I would see animals in spirit that would just present themselves on the wall, or I'd see them standing in a wall. It was very holographic, like it was very Star Wars. With that Princess Leia out of, is it R2-D2,
to where Star Wars,
where Princess Leia projected herself and there was that holographic image. I would see a lot of that. I still see a lot of stuff like that, amongst other things. I would see beings that were not of this world, things that you couldn't even describe, that would look not human. There would be things that did look half human, half something else, and as a child, not being able to talk about what it is that I saw and the voices that I could hear, and it was always when I was by myself. And so just growing up and hearing, Beth, you have a very active imagination, and when I'm by myself going, well, how do I even turn this off? How do I was convinced I did have a very active imagination, but there was also a part of me that knew that there was something more that was going on, because I would hear voices, which now I know how to identify as my guides. I would see people, also people, and kids see people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very common for kids to hear the voices. And I think I would say more kids hear voices and see things than anything, just because they're so open and they haven't been shut down yet. You know, as long as they're not on, and not saying that kids can't hear or see things just because they're on medication, but medication is very synthetic and it can really put a hinder on your gifts, So
I remember when my son was about 4 and he insisted on sleeping with a nightlight, and I kept saying, why do you need a nightlight? And he said, well, he says, Mommy, there are soldiers walking through my room every night. And I said, oh, okay, well, and I asked him, do they talk to you or do they stop? Do they say anything? And he said, no, they just walk through my room. And I said, well, unless they say anything to you, just let them walk. You know, they're not going to bother you. They're just walking through. So, and he saw them even with his nightlight on. So, but then as he grew up, he kind of didn't say anything anymore, you know. And I asked him about it, and he just said, no, I don't see anything. You know, is that typical?
That is very typical. I mean, because kids are sitting here, when I was a kid, I'm putting my experience first, and then I'll be able to share with you the experiences that I have with kids. My experience was any time that I took the risk of sitting and having the courage of saying anything of what I saw, what I heard, what I felt, and I mean, it just, my senses were so overwhelmed, and when I had the courage, because I was so overloaded with what I was seeing, hearing, and feeling, and I didn't know what to do with it. And then just coming in, the family dynamics that I came into, and not fully feeling supported. My parents did the best that they knew how. They really did, not knowing anything about this. And in those days, when I was a kid, you know, I'm 47 years old, we didn't talk about this stuff. Not many people talked about it. And if you did, we unfortunately at that time, you were hauled away, or you were at risk of being hauled away, you know, to a psychiatric facility or put on drugs. And in those days, lobotomies were, you know, they were very common.
Mm-hmm.
And there would have been a diagnosis. So you would have definitely been thought of as crazy, because I've heard stories with adults of their grandparents, which is really interesting, who had gifts way back, you know, way back then, and those were the experiences that they had. So, but on that note, getting back to your son, when he's seeing all of this, there could have been a variety of different things that played into this. He could have sensed that at some level you were worried about him, going, okay, what's going on with him? There might have been some, geez, I hope there's nothing wrong. And it's not by any fault of yours, by any means. But, you know, we do. Just as the society that we are in or were in back then, we're just automatically programmed, then there must be something that's going on. There could be something wrong at some level. And the kids are so hypersensitive, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell by the body language that their parents or the adults are, you know, the messages that they're giving them, the energy that they're sending. They can feel the fear in a parent, the anxiety in a parent. It could have been to where at some level, because I remember being a kid going, I know if I say anything more here, that somebody, they're going to think I'm crazy. I knew by a certain age, I knew by four it was not safe for me to say anything. I don't remember not seeing things. I don't remember not hearing things. And they were really prevalent at night. And it was all over. But I had a grandmother who lived on a farmhouse. It was really active, but I had a lot of ancestors in those days. You know, in her days, people didn't go to a hospital crossover. They died in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't know that at the time, but I had hands on me that were feeling me on the shoulders. The back of my neck, the hairs were always on end. I had goosebumps. That place just scared me to death. But yet, I always wanted to go out there. So I knew at some level I was safe to go out there, but yet I was scared. And I want to tell you, I was challenged on everything because I saw everything out there. And growing up, I mean, I would see people coming through the walls.
Wow.
And there would be other people in the room with me, and I was very much of an observer. I didn't say things. I was a very shy child, kept it to myself. But I was scared. I was scared with everything that was coming at me through the wall. I mean, you would see people. You would see animals. I would see buildings just come out of nowhere that did not like they were from, you know, from this planet. So, I mean, it was very sci-fi. It was very Harry Potter. Now to have the terminology for it, it was very Harry Potter out there, very Harry Potter. So I would say at some level, getting back to your comment about your son, I would say somewhere along the line he didn't feel safe enough for whatever reason. It's not a parent's fault by any means. But felt it wasn't safe enough for him to, because by then, who knows? He could have remembered a conversation that he had with a friend and listened to them talk and to where the friend could have sat there and said, you know, anybody who says that is crazy, anything. You know how kids have an active, I mean, they do, to a degree, there is an active imagination, but kids also repeat what their parents say.
Right, but I never inferred that there was anything wrong. I was very casual and just said, well, did they talk to you? They didn't talk to you. Just let them go through, you know, because I didn't want him to think that there was anything wrong with it. But for me, I've always been into the mysticism for, so it's not anything that I would find unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know parents, some parents will have kids who have an imaginary friend, you know, and they'll talk to an imaginary friend or they'll talk to their stuffed animals.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll just carry on a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the background I have and the background you have, we know that they're probably talking to someone in spirit world. Could be, a, you know, a departed grandparent or an ancestor or spirit guide. But a lot of parents may not know how to handle a situation like that. So how would you advise a parent on how to handle a situation if they are, you know, they walk in and they find their little girl having a tea party with all their animals or with nobody and they're just having a conversation? How would you advise them on handling that?
Seriously, because I've been put into that situation just with mine, but with the kids that I've worked with, they all said the same thing. Every single one of my kids that I've ever worked with have always said, I want to speak to you by myself, Beth. So I would have to get the permission from mom and dad, and we'd go into another room, and they would tell me the stuff, and I would say 99.98% of the kids that I've worked with have stated that they had a dream with me in it, and that their guides told them that I was a safe person for them to tell their story to. And so I would sit here and talk to the kids and let them know my experience. Because believe it or not, kids even at a young age know if they say something because of whatever, the messages, parents around them, an adult around them, school, whoever, has said, or kids that are talking, that somebody might think you're crazy, so don't say it.
Mm.
They might, you know, they might label you. And so I would talk to the kids and reassure them, there isn't going to be a label. We're going to sit down and we're really going to figure out what's going on with you. And so with that note,
so if you are trying to advise a parent, what would you advise them? Would you tell them to sit down and let them know that they...
I got a little sidetracked there. I'm sorry, Marie. You would sit down with a parent, and my first response would be is to be very mindful of not being afraid, not being scared. Not necessarily right away, just to really be an observer. You can put a smile on your face to let your child know that it's okay, to make sure that the energy that you're feeling and the thoughts that you're feeling inside are very calm and they're very non-judgmental. And you can just ask your child, can I sit here and can I play with you? Can we just talk? And it's just, you know, if you can approach your child with curiosity and show interest that you want to see what's going on, play with them. You can find out a lot of stuff from kids, especially young kids, when you're playing with them. With in the counseling world, we call that play therapy. And you can find out, if you're not making eye contact with a child, you just let them play. You'll be amazed how you can sit here and ask questions. And as they're playing with dolls or blocks, you'll be amazed at what you can find out, what's going on with your child. And you'll be amazed at how they can articulate themselves, no matter how old they are, and the information that you can get from them. So don't go into fear. Don't automatically assume that something is wrong. But just find out what's going on with them. And then if they admit that there's something going on, and don't be afraid to sit here and tell your child, I'm not sure what to do for you, but I know I'm going to help you, and I know you can talk to me about this. Because the more you communicate with your child, the more you're going to be able to put them at ease. So then the more they're going to know that there isn't anything wrong with them. So
say your little girl is having a tea party mm-hmm. with her little imaginary friends or her animals, and she's having full-on conversations. You can ask the child, you know, can I join your tea party? And then would you then engage in conversation with her? I mean, would you carry, as
yep.
she's carrying
yep.
on a conversation, would you also continue
yep.
the conversation?
Believe it or not, I've done that with clients, with little girls. I had a 2.5-year-old that I specifically, she was the most gifted child to this day that I've ever worked with. Very gifted on all levels. I mean, she surpassed me by all means. And it's like, wow, the stuff that came out of her and how she could describe things to a T. And she would have tea parties, and I would sit down, and she would direct the conversations, and she knew that I could see who was sitting there, and she knew that I knew that she could see who was sitting there, and we'd engage in conversation, and, I mean, it was really amazing at how comfortable and confident that she was with who she was and what was going on with her, especially, you know, just with the background that she came from. But she was very confident that she was a very special child. She knew this without anybody even telling her. She knew how special she was.
Well, what about if there's a parent that can see,
mm-hmm.
but they are scared to death of what they see, and they haven't really fully accepted their abilities, and they know their child can see? How do you help that child when the parent, you know, I have a friend who knows someone who can see, but she refuses, she's scared to death of her ability, and she knows her son can see, but she won't engage or help him. She just tells him to block it out. I mean, she tries to block it out for both of them. So how would you encourage a parent? What would you do with that parent?
Again, I've had many experiences with parents like that. We're talking, I've been in the field for a very long time, and I've had this run-in to where they sat down and really had to face their fear of what it was that they were really scared of. I mean, I've had parents in tears, you know, and I've had to take the child away and let them know it has nothing to do with that, I need to help mom and dad feel safe, mm-hmm. and then we're going to help, you know, the child feel safe. And it's just because of their memories, the memories that they have, more than likely when a parent... I'm finding that a good portion of parents who are having a hard time with being okay with remembering what their experience was as a child, they may not have seen something pleasant. They didn't have anybody to go and talk to about it. Because we all see differently. There are people who see how individuals have crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who can see, you know, if it was at wartime, somebody's limbs cut off, or if there was, you know, something going on with the head. That's not how it comes across to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple, when I was young, I had a few incidences like that, but for whatever reason it stopped, and I just saw the individuals come to me, and they would just tell me how it was that they crossed over, so I didn't have to see all the gory stuff. But talking with a lot of the parents is because they had something, they had an experience like that,
mm-hmm.
seeing something gory, or they saw another life form that they couldn't identify what it was because it didn't look human.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reality is, no matter what, no matter how much you want to deny it, with the good that is out there, we're not the only ones that exist in this universe. It's a vast universe. It's infinite. It's open. It's huge. It's ever-expanding. Right when we think we know every crevice of this planet, of this world, the galaxies, cosmos, everything, there's even more to it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, there are other life forms. And we are the only planet that, you know, to the best of my knowledge, Tori, we look fully human. There's others that will present themselves as human, but it's just for the sake so that we can wrap our brain around it.
Mm-hmm.
But others don't care if they scare us. So they'll come in their true form, or they'll come in a form because that's what their purpose is to try to scare us. And they would be seen as dark energies. And the reality is it does exist out there. And a lot of parents have had experience with the dark energies and not being able to talk to anybody about it. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, a parent who had that experience as a child probably was blindly trusting the source of information that was coming from them and might have felt betrayed, could have, not saying, because I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth or ideas, but could have been led to do something and they were tricked. And energetically, it's amazing, just because we're humans, it's amazing what we can feel, and it's amazing what different life forms out there and how they can affect us.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, we're in a stage right now in 2013, you need to start waking up. You need to start paying attention. You need to start acknowledging.
But what if the parent doesn't want to? What if they're scared and they say, I don't want this ability, and I don't want my child to have this ability either, and she tries to squelch both of them?
Well, you know, the thing is, you can deny your abilities all you want, and you can, and they can become suppressed, oppressed. I personally, again, this is my own belief system. You don't have to believe it if it doesn't ring true for you. I believe you can oppress it. But that's when you can cause mental anguish, emotional anguish, which in the physical world, it can be presented as mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be very careful in what I say there, because my disclaimer is I am not a medical doctor. I am not a nurse. But I've been in the mental health profession for a long time to be able to sit here and say I have worked with the worst. I have worked with the worst diagnoses. And I'm not sitting here saying go off your meds, that you don't have to sit here and stop going and seeing your psychiatrist, your psychologist, your counselors. You know, it's sitting down and really being honest with the individual that you are working with and your child is working with, and talk to them and find somebody, a professional, who believes in both worlds so that they can help you. So many people are so worried what could happen to them. This is 2013. There's way too many of us out there. There is way too much access for people who can help you to have better and, you know, greater understanding of what is going on with you and your child. So you can squelch it all you want, but sooner or later, you can be greatly affected by it mentally and emotionally, and the same is going to be with your child. And you're going to have the behaviors come out either in the home, school, or community. I've seen it. That's what I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I worked with at-risk youth. So, and it was because the child would say, because mom and dad won't talk to me about what's really going on because they're scared. But how huge that was for the child to have that insight and that awareness to be able to sit here and say, but I remember that they're scared because my guides are giving me their information. And they would even say to the parent, the incident that the parent had, and that is, my friend, what brought the parent around who knew nothing about their child. And that's when they were convinced. And they would admit to the child going, I'm scared. You scare me because I don't know what to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just for you to admit that to your child going, I'm scared and I don't know what to do for you, do you even get how huge that is?
Mm-hmm.
That you're saying that to a child, because then a child's going, good, so at least you're not ignoring it anymore.
Right.
At least I know that you're scared.
Exactly.
And that you don't know how to help me. So you'd be amazed at how many kids are going, I'm going to help you now, though, too. But get it or not, you guys, adults out there, listen to this. The kids are here to help you to remember.
Mm-hmm.
That is their purpose. Now, mind you, this all has to do with spirituality, energetic forms. We're not talking about marital problems. You don't discuss that with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not here to take care of that, but they're here to help you awaken to who it is that you are, because it is amazing. I worked with families to where the parents said, my child's out of control. I don't want to be a parent anymore. Get them out of my life. I mean, that's just how scared they were.
Right.
But to sit here, I mean, and we're not talking it's going to happen overnight, and those are your extreme cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen amazing results. There was only one family in my 12 years of when I was in the mental health profession that it didn't turn out to where the children stayed with the parents because the parents couldn't get their act together. But the kids were adopted out into phenomenal homes who accepted these kids. And it was my little 2.5-year-old, to where she was the coolest kid I've ever worked with, who got adopted out to a really cool mom. And her siblings got adopted out to a cool mother and father, who were so into this. So it was like, it was really cool. So, I mean, it was divinely meant to be. Just, you know, so.
But if, okay, so if the parents, though, are not, say they just, they're like, okay, I don't want to deal with my abilities, how do they then support their child? I mean, what is the best support? Is it just blindly saying, I believe in you? And
oh, good grief, yes. Yeah. I can't even tell you how just saying how much a child needs to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in you. An adult needs to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just on a physical level, a mental and emotional level, you know, on a spiritual level, we all need to know that somebody believes in us.
Right.
You know, and how many times I said to a child for the first time, I'd look in their eyes, and I say this now, and we all need to hear this. You look into the eyes and you just say, I see you and I know that you exist. And look at that, they even made a movie about it, Avatar. That line
right.
was even in Avatar, and I've been saying that my whole counseling career. I see you, and I know you exist. And it's not just the physical person that's hearing that. The soul part of you is hearing that. I see you, and I know you exist. And I work with kids now. I go into daycares a lot right now, and I will tell the kids, you are a bright light. Never let anybody dim it down. The kids could be busy playing, and they're having fun. They will stop, and this just happened to me on Friday, and they'll look and say, thank you, because their soul is recognizing it. On a physical level, they may go, why did she just say that? But on a soul level, they just recognize, oh, my gosh, she just saw me, and she recognizes me for the light that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And in my books, every single one of my books, I am channeling the information that I'm told that I have to write that in there, but that is my saying that I've said
mm-hmm.
ever since I can remember. So
okay.
I just find it interesting that it was put into a movie.
Yeah, I know. So then what is the best way then, you know, I know you say to tell the children, you know, to say you are a bright light, but what's the best way to sit down with a child and discuss all of this with them, especially if you're a parent who doesn't see?
Well, you know what, I'll say this to everybody, you don't have to have a child who sees or hears or feels, but just to sit down with your child, and it's about communication, and it's just sitting down and saying, you know what, we need to talk. And when you come from your heart space, you just come from your heart, and you're being honest. You're not going to sit here and fluff it up, because I guarantee the kids out there right now are indigo kids. They are the ones who are, they can smell BS 1,000 miles away.
Yep.
They know when you're not in your integrity or your truth, so don't even try to blindside them. And a lot of these kids, when they're sitting here and fighting you, it's because they're going, how dare, they may not come out and say it. The older ones, the teenagers, I guarantee you are. They're right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
The younger kids might
have
be a little more.
I have an indigo daughter.
Yeah. The younger kids might be a little more delicate about it, but it can come across in behaviors. And then you have the crystal children. They're the peacemakers. They're all about the love. And it takes a lot to get them bent out of shape. And they can get bent out of shape when they get bent out of shape, but they're the peacemakers. They are just the bridge to bringing everybody together. So it might be to where they're the ones who are bringing the discord between family members, and they're the ones who are soothing it over. Like, Mom, you have to forgive Grandpa. Or, you know, Daddy, you have to talk to your sister. It's amazing. It's just amazing, the insight and the wisdom that comes from these children. So,
well, I know indigo children have been around probably for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I know there's new kids coming in. I think Crystal is one
yep.
of the newer ones, right?
Yep.
What are the new ages, like what are the age groups of indigo, Crystal? And I think there's a new child that's being born, because I know that the children.
The rainbow children.
The rainbow children, yeah. I know the new children that have been coming into the world in the last couple of years are really, I think, a lot more gifted.
Oh, good gravy.
Then, you
yep.
know, they have been in years. So can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I honestly, because I don't get into the age thing, because there's, like, controversy on that.
Mm.
You hear a lot of people going, you're indigo if you're born in this year,
gotcha.
You weren't in that year. I'm a tail end. I'm considered a tail end indigo.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, was I a nonconformist. Even as a child, I was feisty. Shy but feisty.
Mm-hmm.
I had an attitude like no tomorrow. As a teenager, it came out. I was one who always questioned authority. To this day, I question authority. Just because you say so, I don't blindly trust. And I was the one that everybody would sit here and say, you're so negative. No, I'm not. I'm questioning you just because you're saying you're truthful. It doesn't feel right to me. You're saying it. It's not matching up with what I'm feeling. And my feelings were so right on to where nobody could sit here and convince me. And it's just like, and in the end, people would see, you know, the source that was trying to come across as this bright light. And I'm being honest, they would end up, it might be 6 months later, a year later, but people would see what it was that I was talking about, and I could see it, I can smell BS 1,000 miles away. I mean, I honestly can.
Mm-hmm.
But and these kids are even more tuned into it. So for a date, I mean, there was a huge influx of them, which would be the hippies. They were the nonconformers. Mm-hmm. When you sit here and you think about it, any child who's going to sit here, you have a lot of kids, seriously, in the mental health profession, those are a lot of your ODD kids, the oppositional defiant kids. I absolutely love working with those kids. Celebrate their independence. They were the coolest kids. I would be the first one they ever encountered saying, do you even know how cool you are? And by the time I was done working with them, completely different kids, different relationship with their parents. But it's what was needed. But I'm also a communicator, and I know my role is also to help the parents understand their children and for the children to better understand and communicate with their parents and vice versa. So I know that's the role that I play. And then you have the indigo kids. I worked with some indigo kids, but it was only because they had older siblings that were indigo, and they were usually adopted out.
Hmm.
I worked with a lot of adopted kids, and those were the indigo kids. And then the rainbow kids, I have not had the honor of being able to work with them yet. Those, to my understanding, are the infants that are coming in, and there's, you know, I'm not a few of them, but they're just starting to come in with maybe the past couple years, to my, again, my understanding. But these kids are supposed to be absolutely phenomenal. They can look at you and heal you. Just their
wow.
abilities, just the love. They are just nothing but unconditional love. They came into this world with no karma. Your indigo or your crystal children, my understanding is that they didn't come in with karma either. If anything, they're working on stuff with the family. Indigo kids, you have, you're finishing out karma, but
okay.
they're the ones who are here to break down the paradigms of the old structure of society. And they're going to do it. They are doing it. And the crystals are the ones to bring in the new energies and the new worlds. And the rainbow kids are here to help with that energy of letting us know everything is A-okay.
How would you tell a parent how they could distinguish what their child is?
Oh, there's so much information out on the internet. So, I mean, you can do research.
Okay.
Type up indigo child, crystal child, rainbow children. And there's a variety of other different ones. I don't get up into it. I don't, because I was an indigo, and we're, a lot of us who are indigo are going into crystallization, and we're going into crystal form. You know, so you can change. You can change that. And it's not my area of specialty to where I just don't get caught up in that because
mm-hmm.
to me it's like, well, this is what I am, but you're not.
Right.
And I just don't like, because it doesn't make people feel good. We're all special. We're all very special. Is every child out there an indigo? No. Is every child out there a crystal? I don't think so. Is every child out there a rainbow? I guarantee not, because they're just starting to come in. So... And I haven't had the pleasure of meeting a rainbow child yet. I
okay.
look forward to it, though.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. I can see you and I running around wherever we go and just staring at babies going, are you a rainbow?
Well, you can feel their energy. They're just facilitators of love. You just feel this love from this little bundle, and it's like, oh. It just melts away everything from you. From the information on the internet,
mm-hmm.
just the information you put on there, just how it affects you energetically. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, Lord, I'd love to sit here and just be in the presence of a rainbow child.
Wow. So if someone wanted to come to you, like, say, for a session, what kind of sessions do you offer, and what do you do? Do you do them individually? Do you do them with the family? I do
all of it. I do individual. I work with kids individually. And it's up to the comfort zone of the parents, and it's up to the comfort zone of a child. And, of course, the parent or parents, too, would be present. So it would either be, you know, they would stay in a room and I would go off into the room, you know. Being the counselor that I am, it's not going to be into a bedroom. It's going to be like in a living room or a kitchen. And then the adults are going to be in a separate room. So, you know, it's just to make sure that the relationship there, everybody's safe in all ways, shapes, and forms, because that's still the counselor in me, and you would never go off by yourself. So anyways, I can do it individually, and a lot of the kids prefer, seriously, to work with me individually. So, but the parents would be in the house. And then the road is that they're doing more than one session, and then next time that the parents would start joining in. So, and then it can be to where I work with just the parents, and then later on the child comes in. And I've also worked where I've worked with the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what's all going on.
Have you ever had a session where you've worked with a child and you know that the child is extremely gifted and has all these abilities, and then you've gone to work with the parents, but the parents absolutely refuse to accept the abilities the child has?
I have, but, you know, I must say I just have that way for, it's that communicator piece, and that's what I have seen. I have taken this gift for granted my whole life, but I have a way of talking with parents because I have had sticklers, let me tell you. And when I was in the mental health profession, I worked with court-ordered cases. Like I said, there was court systems. Everybody was involved with this family and the kids. And parents who are just giving up saying, I'm not fighting for this child.
Wow.
But you get them, and like I said, this is not a one-timer. We're talking, those are the cases when it's to that point, mm-hmm. I am absolutely refusing who my child is. Other than that, no, I have parents who are going, I don't understand it. I want to try to help my child,
mm-hmm.
and I just need you to know that I'm scared, and just to give them permission that it's okay to be scared,
mm-hmm.
but that I'm going to do the best that I can, you know, to help them to have better understanding of what is going on. So,
well, what if you say you're an aunt or a sister or a relative of a child, you know, who's going through this? What other resources are out there then that maybe you can help them? You know, if mom and dad are scared and they don't want to get involved or they don't understand it, but you as a family member understand it, what resources are out there for you that you can help your niece, nephew, you know, cousin, whatever?
Oh, there's so many books out there, and this is what there's so many different resources that you can do. There is a huge network. It depends on, you have to decide which way that you want to work with this. You know, do you want to do it to where it's holistically, to where you're going to use the non-traditional, what would be viewed in the physical world as non-traditional ways of helping your children. So it might be somebody who specializes in the areas like I do, a spiritual counselor. You could decide if there's parents out there. Here's the thing is, my work, I don't take insurance. The only time you could access insurance, there has to be a diagnosis.
Mm.
So I'm just not into that. I don't want to be a part of the system of labeling kids. That's the reason that I left the profession because, believe it or not, I mean, there's a lot. That's a whole nother segment. But you have to decide which way you want to treat. There's a lot of individuals that will accept insurance that are very open to you being able to talk this way. I know those individuals. I'd be able to get you hooked up with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't want to have to deal with that and you didn't want the paper trail, the information, well, I guess I can't even guarantee. I can't guarantee you nobody would put that information into the paper, so that would be a false statement for me. But there's a community out there. All you have to do is get onto the Internet, and you could type up whatever it is that you're looking for. But you have to have a general idea of what it is that you want to do, what are you willing to do. And you can find anything on the Internet. If you weren't quite sure what it was that you wanted to do, you could always contact me at BethJacobson46@yahoo.com and let me know what's going on and saying, Beth, I'm not quite sure what it is that I'm looking for. And I'm always more than happy to help somebody, to guide them, because this is about helping you and helping your child. You know, it's about everybody waking up and acknowledging what's going on in the world out there, because you can ignore it all you want, but sooner or later you're going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I do promise you, sooner or later, within this year, you are going to be dealing with it. So you're either going to overcome your fear, and who doesn't want their child to thrive and survive and be successful? And who doesn't want that for themselves as an adult?
Well, I think, too, with everybody awakening more and more and more, we will be running into that more often. And I think people really should find a way to educate themselves and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, because you will be running into this, you know. So finding out, getting the resources, talking to people, you're going to have to get educated to help the children.
Well, you know, my whole purpose is to write the series of books with the experiences that I've had and the experience that the kids that I worked with, and I will be writing a guidebook. All of this is written up, everybody. I have to do the illustrations. My first book is out. It is published, so all you have to do is go on to my email that I just said, BethJacobson46@yahoo.com or DivineGoddessRadio@gmail.com, and let me know. The books are going to be set up with a guidebook when it's all completed, for the parent to be able, and what it is a tool. That's all it is a tool for a parent to sit down and know what to do, how to begin the conversation with the child. So it's guidelines. Like I said, it's a guidebook for parents or whatever caregiver. It could be foster parent also. That could sit, you could sit down and talk to your child about to use those books.
Okay. If anybody is listening to us live right now and if they would like to call in and ask Beth a question, we'd love to take your call. You can call. The number to call in is at 347. That's the area code. 327-9360, and if you want to ask Beth a question, we'd love to, you know, she'd love to answer it for you. So give us a call, or you can type a question into the chat room. Beth, how much is your book?
My book is, Marie, it is $7.99 plus $3.95 shipping and handling. So,
okay.
Again, all you'd have to do is contact me by email, and it will be sent out as soon as possible.
Okay, that's wonderful. And when do you anticipate the rest of your books?
Well, for my second book, it will be done by the end of April. Like I said, they're all written. All I have to do is the illustrations because I'm putting my energy into the book. Since it was my experience and the experience of the kids that I've worked with, I want it to be a book that's coming from me. And when you have anybody else, you know, they can put their interpretation. But anyways, we're talking the second book, hopefully at the latest, the end of April.
Okay. Do you want to maybe give the topic of your first book and then what the rest of your books will be about so that if anybody's interested, they can at least, you know, contact you to order your first book?
This one right here, the first one is, it's the I'm Scared Of series, and it's book number one. It's called The Closet, and it's the experience of the activities that I experienced and other kids experienced with different energies that were going on in the closet area. And it could be anywhere. It could be in your home. It could be at school that had closets. It could be at a friend's house, a grandparent's house, and the things that we saw in it, the things that I saw in it, the things that we heard from it.
Oh, that is so common.
And I know, and it is so common. And this book right here was written by the 8-year-old within me, the 8-year-old who put herself out there, who never wanted to talk about this is what was going on with me. So it's definitely from an 8-year-old's perspective.
Well, we have a friend who still won't sleep with the closet doors open. She's like, it scares me. And I'm like, come on now. You know what's in the closet, and you can talk to what's in the closet. So,
and we also know that you mentioned that we have another friend who has a lot of activity going on in her house in a room.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's another different story, and it's not pleasant activity. Mine were loved ones that were communicating with me. I mean, we could really get into the story. But then I'd be giving the book away. So that's where I'm going to be mindful on that. But the other books have to do with my experiences in the bed, under the bed, and my experience with things that I saw on the wall and that other kids have described that have been on the wall. And now just because you're putting me on the spot here, I'm going, oh, my God, what are my other books? But it all has to do with the experiences that I had within the home. Within the home, and especially there's a book on being scared of being alone
mm-hmm.
by yourself because, Lordy, as a kid, the stuff that went on as soon as you were the only one left in the room, even if your parent or your mom was just in the next room, the stuff that you experienced in. So.
Well, I think that those books would be awesome and very helpful because you even see them portrayed out in horror movies. I mean,
oh,
how
I
many horror
yeah.
movies
yeah.
have you seen that,
yeah.
you know, there's something comes out of under the bed or in the closet, and it's always something really dark and negative. And I think it's important. Your books are important because it shows they're not.
And I want everybody to hear my books are not scary. I mean, the experience itself was scary, but these are books with keeping in mind that these are for children. It's not to scare them, because the only thing that can be scary is fear itself. And as long as you don't show fear in anything, you know, all is well. It really all is well. So.
What about, have you had an experience, I know a lot of kids have this one, because I had this one too, of the scary basement. You know,
oh,
you go down
Lord,
in the basement,
that's a whole new
and then you turn around and you go bolting up the stairs, slam the door.
Okay, folks, how many of us, because I've heard this, how many of you can relate going down in the basement and putting a coat on your head because it was this protection, it was like it was made out of steel, and nobody, if anybody was going to jump out of it, you had this plan, I could leap out of that coat, you know, that was on my head. It was just, It's hysterical. I've heard more parents when I talk about this. Oh, my God, Beth, I did that too. And I'm going, what do you think that was about?
I do it when I'm showing houses sometimes. If I get creeped out and the hair stands up, I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to put my protection. And I have to try not to run up the stairs in front of my clients. But now at least I know how to, you know, put the protection around me so that I can talk myself and don't show the fear, because I know better not to show the fear, because if you show the fear, they'll come and latch onto it.
Oh, I could tell
but
you.
But a little child doesn't know that.
Oh, I know, I know. I could tell you stories, some scary stories. Just, you know, as an adult, tell you scary stories of basements, let me tell you. But, no, as a kid, scared. And then if you had a basement that was cluttered growing up, it's like, boy, did you see things in there. Lordy, lordy, lordy. And it was not the imagination, but there was just a lot of energy within all that stuff. That's the thing is, energy is everywhere, because it's energy is matter, and it's moving all the time, and things can formulate out of that energy.
How would you explain energy to a child, like what energy is, so they can understand it?
I'm trying to, what do I say to a child? Because the kids have always gotten it. But I guess the best way would be able to say, you know, have you ever been in a room, like a lot of kids, to where have you been in the room and you're really happy and all of a sudden somebody comes into the room, and it doesn't always have to be in human form. It could be a parent, it could be a dog, it could be anything or anyone coming in, and all of a sudden you just feel like all of a sudden you're not happy anymore. You feel like there's a cloud over you, and it just came out of nowhere, and you're just happy-go-lucky, playing with your toys, reading a book. All of a sudden something happened. Well, something appeared in that room, believe it or not, whether it was, like I said, whether it was in human form, animal form, whether it was to where you couldn't see it, whether it was a spirit that came into the room. Kids would talk about going, oh, do you mean when the room gets really cold and I can see my grandpa? And I'm going, exactly. Mm. Grandpa's energy just shifted what was already, you know, your energy that was going on in there. Everything has life force. Everything, no matter what, even if it's made out of plastic, it came from the earth. Everything came from the earth. So there's energy in every single thing.
Yeah, I think kids get it more than adults.
Oh, I guarantee kids get it. They get it.
Yep.
They actually get it. So it's like, it's fantastic.
Well, it looks like we have a caller. So I'm going to go ahead and take the caller. It's area code 484. If you could let us know your first name and where you're calling from, and then go ahead and ask your question to Beth. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hello there. Thanks for taking my call. This is the first time I found your show, actually.
Oh, great. Thank you for joining
my
us.
My name is Antoinetta. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Antoinetta? Well, hello, this is Beth. Do you have a question?
Well, I wasn't sure what kind of questions you're taking tonight, because I know you're talking about kids and psychics and stuff like that, but I wasn't sure if you were taking other psychic questions or other things.
Well, if you have a question, let's see, what is it about? What would you like to ask, Antoinetta?
Well, on February the 14th, I was in my kitchen washing a pan, and I actually had a person who is not dead, they're fully alive right now, appear right next to me. And it was a person that I was dating in my past, and I looked over to them, and you could not see through them. They were a full body, you know, a short sleeve shirt on. And I looked over, and I couldn't believe it. And the person said, "I want to start seeing you again." And I basically ran from my kitchen. So I don't know what that means.
I don't know. You gave me goosebumps, so. Well, Antoinetta, to the best of your knowledge, do you know if this individual is still in human form?
Yes,
or
he
in
is.
Spirit form?
He's an ex-boyfriend of mine, and he's alive. He's very well alive.
Well, if this isn't cool, because this is you're my first person who's actually experienced this. This is, under my understanding, would be astral projection, that he projected you.
I do have that ability. I have, like, remote viewing, astral projection. I also had a vision back in September of this person moving from their home and you know, moving stuff to a storage unit and everything. So I think that that's also going to come to pass where this person moves and actually comes to live with me. And I had that in late September, that vision, and I was fully awake.
Cool for you. So is this something that you grew up being aware of, or is it just as an adult?
I just started having these open visions when I started dating this man, and that was in June of last summer.
Really? Well, you know, Antoinette, again, if this rings true for you, this is just, you know, what is coming to me. It's just because you're at the level energetically to where your gifts are coming to the surface, and they're not even in full bloom yet. They're not even full bloom, and look at the cool stuff that you're experiencing. Just don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it.
Well, don't show fear to it. I guess my question then to you tonight is, do you feel like this man is going to really move in with me? Do you feel like that vision is going to come to pass?
Let me tune in with it. What is his name?
Daniel.
Daniel? If you're wanting him to move in, but this is so cliche, if you're wanting him to move in, yes, it can be, but it's a way for what's being shown to you, that it's something that he is showing interest of it also. So if it's what you're feeling that's for your highest and best good right now, that yes, you are actually seeing, it's you're seeing him projecting this to you, but this is also premonition because you're seeing it before it's happening. And you're seeing
right,
the scenario playing out before you.
Right. And it's funny
because you do realize that free will could always step in, and if anything goes on to where you're deciding against it, that's what could always put a stop to it happening. So if you're wanting it to happen, then yes. If you're not in contact with him right now, this is an opportunity to be able to contact
him. Right, and it's funny because we're not even together right now, and he's, you know, living at home with his stepfather, and I heard through the grapevine he's having problems at home there. I heard that he's having money problems. He's not working. So, you know, things are really down for the count for him. So I'm assuming that it's only a matter of time that he reaches out to me and needs a place to stay.
Exactly. So then, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for you to sit here and really think about if this is what you're wanting to attract into your life.
Right.
Because
this is just being presented to you.
This is a possible scenario of what could happen. But when you know all the other information that's going on, now you have an opportunity, a heads up, of whether or not that this is what you want to enter into your life. So that's where free will would come into play. It could happen if you wanted it to, but if you don't, you can stop it from happening. So,
right. And see, I don't have the ability yet to know time frame. I don't know when this will happen.
Well, you know, here the thing is, I'm hearing three. So it could be 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. But on that same note, energetically what's going on right now, we're evolving, shifting everything. It could change as soon as we get off the phone. Just what I said a minute ago could be irrelevant to what's going on in the future. You know what I'm saying? So you have to keep
right.
an open mind on that. But I see a flashing three, and it feels like it's either 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months.
I would say
3 weeks, 3 months area is what it's feeling more for me.
Could it even be like the month of March? Because March is number three. Could it be this
I was just
going
to say that. I seriously was going to say, or it could be the month of nope, I'm hearing no. I'm hearing no with that.
Okay, so it's not March.
Not March, no.
So maybe in April, because 3 weeks would be April.
Could be 3 weeks, 3 months, yep. Because it's not feeling like it's days. So it could be 3 weeks, 3 months. I'll even go to say that it feels more like it's 3 months, but it could be 3 weeks. Because
okay.
It's hard to really sit here and just to decipher that. And I don't want you to go, okay, Beth said in 3 weeks. But by 3 months, you will definitely have a definite answer.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
very
good to know then that, you know, my visions are coming to pass here.
Oh, yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? Just welcome them.
Welcome
them. And,
yep.
And the more that you sit here and you're grateful for them, the better and more clearer they will become, Antoinette.
Okay, very good.
All right. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, that's it. That's all I really had going on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yep, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay. If there's anybody else who'd like to ask a quick question, please call us 347-327-9360. Well, that was kind of interesting, huh? We were talking about that anyway because, I mean, that was our first show, talking about how people are all of a sudden now awakening and everybody's powers are coming in and everybody's abilities are coming in, not only with kids but with adults. So kind of ties everything together.
Well, you know what is really interesting? I was just at an expo yesterday in St. Cloud, and the individuals, the clientele that I had, every single one of them all day long had to do with, I don't know why I'm here, but I feel like I need to come to you, and I feel like I can trust you, Beth. And I get that all the time, the expos that I go to, Beth, I feel like I can trust you. And my first thing is, Marie and I are going to do a show on this in a couple weeks. Is it in 2 weeks, Marie?
Yep.
It's about trusting your intuition. We'll get a little more into that. But meanwhile, I'll give you a little FYI. For those of you who are going, I'm not going to give specifics right now, but to trust your intuition is if you're guided to something right now and you're not quite sure why you're somewhere, like you have this book in your hand, why you need to go see this movie, or maybe you tuned into this blog talk and you're going, I have no idea what this is about. It could be the person or whatever you're exposed to is the next part of the puzzle, because we're all intricate parts of the puzzle piece. And it could be that piece of information from however it's delivered, person, thing, whatever, that is going to help you with the next part of your journey. So just look at it that way. You're guided to the individual for a reason.
So, Beth, you know, as we're getting close to ending our show, do you want to give everybody your contact information again?
I sure can. You can reach me at 651-900-4136 or email me at Beth, B-E-T-H, Jacobson, J-A-C-O-B-S-O-N, 46, at yahoo.com or divinegoddessradio@gmail.com.
So if anybody wants to book a session or if they'd like to speak to her further, if you have a child or know of a child that, you know, it may be struggling with their abilities or you know, you want to help maybe their parent, contact Beth. She can help you, you know, get through that. I think that would be awesome. And if you want to order her book too, just email her and let her know. Do you have anything else you want to say before we end?
And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that it's not just kids that I work with. I just specialize in working with kids. I work with people of all different ages, and I work with kids of all ages. My youngest have been from 1, you know, up through the age of 18 and, you know, up through to adulthood. So it's a variety. And it's amazing how you can communicate without orally having to move your mouth. It's being able to read what it is that they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my gifts. I can sit here and let you know energetically what's going on with them. And plus, I can read what they're thinking about, though, too. So.
Right. And remember, I mean, people listening out there, if you do see a child and you see them, you know, talking to an imaginary friend or stuffed animal or sitting on a couch and you don't see anybody sitting there and they're yakking away, don't discourage that. You know, let them be, let them evolve into who they are and evolve into their special abilities, because it makes them stronger as they grow. I mean, that's having confidence in yourself as a child helps you grow into a confident adult.
Just be excited about it. Be enthusiastic about it. Let the child know how proud of you that you are of them. And let them know just how special that they really are, because they have gifts. And let them know, saying, you have a very special gift that not everybody has. But you also want to say it in a manner so a child doesn't walk around at school the next day going, well, I'm special and you're not. Because that has happened with me when I've worked with kids going, okay, now we have to redefine that. Yes, you are special, but everybody's special. You just have some really special, unique gifts.
Right.
So, and, you know, and like I said, sit down, talk with your kids from your heart, and it's amazing when you talk from your heart how far that can go.
Well, we're at the end of our show, and Beth, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us. That was awesome.
Well, thank you, Marie.
You're welcome. And you can follow our show on Block Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button, and also check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. You can also download our shows. We have all of our past shows and archived shows up on the Block Talk Divine Goddess Radio page, and you can, you know, download them as a podcast using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons. And then also, if you could like our Facebook page, we would love to grow that. We've just
really want to see that page grow, just search for Divine Goddess Radio, and also on the Blog Talk page, the link is there, so you can click on it. And we hope that you'll join us next week and that you have a fabulous week. If you are local, we will be having a class on March 30th. It's Trusting Your Intuition. It's a basic class on how to trust your intuition. And in the afternoon, we will be doing a class on ascension and talking about what ascension is, what the symptoms are, how to get through it. So if you're interested and you live here locally, just shoot us an email at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. And we wish you all a good week and love and light to you all.